All right, let's welcome in our Denver 7 Insider Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Ranke. Presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Troy, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. I mean, we're all expecting Drew Locke to play. We're all expecting that to be part of the situation. What is the latest on kind of injuries, and what are your expectations for this weekend with Philip Lindsay and Drew Locke? Will they be back in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question in my mind Locke will start. I mean, why Vic Fangio continues to kind of play this and do this dance of it's between he and Rippon, I'm not sure. Because the reality is, if they're both healthy and Locke has been a full participant all week, and a healthy Drew Locke is not considered a better option than Brett Rippon, that should send chills down your spine if you're Broncos country, that he then can't beat out Rippon in a week of practice. I just think this is kind of silly to me that he hasn't been named, but he did it the same time, same week when Drew made his debut, they played this game, that he wasn't somehow a better option than Brandon Allen. So whatever. I just think in the age of social media, the idea that there's gamesmanship involved here gets a little silly, but I expect Drew Locke to start. I expect Philip Lindsay to start, but I do think Melvin Gordon will play, that they will allow the league discipline to follow Gordon's situation. It's a minimum of 3 games per the new collective bargaining agreement. So in some ways, if the team were to suspend him as well, it's a little bit of double jeopardy. Doesn't mean he didn't make a mistake. I'm not saying that, but typically in these cases, teams, not just the Broncos, almost all teams allow the league to discipline, and that would be probably several weeks away. So I would expect Gordon to play with Lindsay.
Are the Broncos missing an opportunity by disciplining Gordon themselves?
I mean, you could say that, but there's no precedent for him doing that. They didn't do it with Quinn Jackson. They didn't do it with T.J. Ward. They didn't do it with you have to go down the list of guys. Why would it? It's the same management group. I don't know why the expectation would be it would be different for Gordon. I mean, I'm not saying that flippantly. It would be a juxtaposition of how they dealt with all of these cases in recent years. So, and the one, I'm not going to defend the Broncos, but I will say in most cases, teams allow the league to punish the player. You guys brought up Michael Thomas yesterday, and the difference with Michael Thomas is that he got in a fight with a teammate at practice. That's not what got him suspended. What got him suspended was his reaction to coaches after the fight, that it was a pattern of behavior they had seen for several years, and they had just had enough. They finally said, we're taking the football away from you, and you can go home, because they were tired of his attitude. That doesn't apply to this situation. This is strictly an off-field issue. Gordon has been a great teammate, according to guys I've talked to in the locker room, a hard worker. So if you see it as a one-off event, then you treat it as if, as you have all the other off-field incidents, right or wrong. But that's the precedent, is that you allow the league to discipline him, not the team.
What's the concern, and what's the teachable moment in regards to COVID protocol and all the things that we're dealing with now? Is, you know, a couple of people in Indianapolis now, and they've shut down their facilities, have been tested positive for COVID. Like, what is that conversation with, you know, with players being out and about, and Melvin Gordon obviously being out and about?
Yeah, I mean, they don't sense that an investigation into his behavior that night prior to the DUI arrest will end up being a COVID violation. But the message has been, don't let your guard down. The Broncos have done great with this in terms of their behavior. I mean, some of it is luck. Let's not be naive here, that you can do everything right sometimes, feel like you're doing everything right and still contract the virus. But don't let your guard down and be very cognizant of who you're around and who they're around. That is the real issue, is players, for the most part, can control their environment. But if you have friends who are visiting, and then who have they been around? Like, that's where you have to be additionally vigilant and kind of, you know, ask tough questions to people, that if they're going to visit you or someone's coming into your house, have you been around anyone that's been exposed? And those are tough conversations. I mean, they're going on in college campuses. They're going on in homes around the country. So the message has been, Mark, just don't let your guard down. You guys have done great in the way you've handled this. They haven't had a case since Andrew Beck in, you know, a couple of weeks before training camp started. So they've done everything right. But just don't let your guard down and be very cognizant of who you're associating with.
You know, I know the Cam Newton story has been an interesting one around the NFL, and it's, you know, breathed some life into the, sort of dull Patriots, in the way they go about their business. But, I mean, is it safe to say that Von Miller and the Broncos wrecked Cam Newton? That he really, I won't say never recovered from Super Bowl 50, but it definitely put his career on a different trajectory, didn't it?
Yeah, he wasn't the same, and then it was compounded. I mean, it looks as if that game sent him off the rails. What happened was he got hit in that game. He got hit a lot. Their game plan, I was talking to T.J. Ward about this the other day, and their game plan was hit him again, hit him some more, hit him, and then when we're done, hit him again. And he didn't want any part of that by the end of that game, especially after Jonathan Stewart got hurt. I mean, the Broncos defense was built to do that. I mean, it's an easy game plan when you got 6-7 guys who are just absolutely ferocious on that side of the ball. But along with that loss, and then all of a sudden he started getting hurt. The shoulder injury for me really messed him up. Shoulder and a foot injury for a quarterback, one affects his throwing arm, and the other one he can't plant. And he just didn't look like himself. Anyone that watched him last year and said, oh, yeah, he's still an MVP-type player, he wasn't. But he got healthy. And he's now healthy and really motivated, and he's running again. Remember, he stopped running for the better part of a couple years, at least consistently. And now on a winning team, winning culture, he's healthy and he's running again. I mean, that's been the biggest inference I see in him. He's that dual threat, and he's 6'5", 255. He's bigger than your outside linebackers. So when he's healthy, guys aren't exactly lining up to tackle him. I mean, he's Derrick Henry as a quarterback, essentially. So, I mean, but yeah, his career went off the rails after that game. But in part, I would say you have to see the injuries as a huge factor.
What do the Broncos have to do to secure a victory in New England this weekend?
Well, they'd take the advice from you, Mark. If they could run the ball and take pressure off Drew Locke to where you're passing out of play action and passing on, you know, third and four, you'd have a chance. The team that runs and stops the run is going to win. It's going to be a physical game. And when I say stop the run, that's the running of Cam Newton as well. I mean, the way he plays that position. The hard part is with Belichick, I would assume that he's going to say, we want Broncos quarterbacks to beat us. You know, and assume it's going to be Locke. Locke hasn't played since week two. Then they're going to sell out to stop the run. They're going to give him non-scouted looks up front. That hasn't been a strength of their offensive line this year, adjusting in-game. They've had moments where they've been good running the ball against Pittsburgh the first half, that they were really good. And then the end of the game against the Jets, they finished off with the game with the run. But what do they have to do, Mark? I would say that with Phillip Lindsay and Gordon playing, which I expect, you're able to control the game to some degree on the ground, and then it sets up big strikes in the passing game. And then you got to stop the run. New England is physical. Their line is really physical this year. So you got to run and stop the run and hopefully get a couple of big strikes when they show up.
All right. We'll talk to you Sunday morning as part of our pregame show. Thank you very much, Troy.
You got it, guys. Look forward to it. Take care.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.